Blog Talk Radio.
Jacksonville, Florida. I am your radio host and preacher of the hour,
Dr. Mary Smith McCoy. And this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and we will be glad in it. We want you today to know that there is nothing too hard for God, and that the battle does not belong to you, but the battle belongs to God. No matter what you may be going through today, I want you to know that it belongs to God. Why don't you just give it to Him? Why don't you just let God handle whatever it is in your life? We're getting ready to go before the throne of grace. Come on and go with us as we go before our Lord. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name, we exalt you, we lift your name up high, we give you all the praise and glory. Father, we thank you for being the Alpha and Omega. We thank you, God, for being the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the true and the living God. We thank you, God, for having all power in your hand. Lord, we pray, God, even today, that the listeners that are listening to this broadcast, God, that their hearts will be touched. God, that you, Father God, will reveal yourself to them. God, to let them know that you are the I am that I am. And God, that you are able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that they ask or think. God, I ask thee, Lord, to move in their heart, their mind, their soul, and their spirit. And Lord, if there's anyone that is not saved, I pray, God, today that this will be a day of change, a day, God, that they, Father God, will be able, God, to give their lives unto you. And for this, we will glorify and praise thy name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You are listening to the Hour of Power broadcast with Dr. Mary McCoy, and we're getting ready to go before the throne of God. We're getting ready to preach the adulterated, uncompromising word that is able to save your soul. And we just want to begin to speak from that first verse, because I believe that God wants you to know the power of his people. The Bible says that we shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon us. And we're going to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. So I want you to know the power of God. I want you to know the power that God has put in his men and his women of God. Let's begin to read at that first verse of Acts, the fifth chapter. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said to Ananias, Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost, to lie to the Spirit of God, and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own power? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. The breath came out of his body. The breath left his body. And he died. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose and wound up him up and carried him out and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after his wife, not knowing what was done came in, and Peter answered to her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. And Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried your husband are at the door and shall carry you out. Then fell she down immediately at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead and carried her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. These men, this man and this woman, Ananias and Sapphira, they had possessions. They went and they sold their possessions. But then they decided that we're going to go before the man of God. We're going to go before the man of God, and we're going to give him part of our possession. We're going to lie, and they agreed in their agreement. They agreed what they were going to do. But the Holy Ghost was privy to what they was about to do. They knew that it was that what they were doing was not right. The Holy Spirit knew that even though they may have been together, they may have been in a room. I don't know where they were at the time that they decided that they were going to get together and that they were going to go before Peter. They were going to go for the man of God. And we're going to lie. And we're going to tell them that we have sold our possessions. And we're not going to give them all of it, but we're going to tell them that we have given it to them and that we have sold so much. And we're going to lie. And that knowing that they are lying not only to the man of God, but they were lying to God. So here the man came in first. And he, as the word let us know, that he decided that he was going to lie unto Peter. He had kept back the part of the price of what they had sold. And they was and they lied to the apostle. And they lied most of all to God. And when the man did, then they was lying to the Holy Spirit, to the Holy Ghost, and the man had failed dead. The breath went out of his body because of the fact that he didn't fear God and he was lying. The Bible says, a false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall perish. But because of the fact they did not fear God, and because of the fact that they wanted to be more important than what they were, and they wanted to show off, you know how it is, that you may say, well, I'm going to drop so-and-so into the basket or to in the offering. And I'm going to say that I put a certain amount in there. You may even write it on your envelope. You may say, I'm going to put $100 or $200 in the offering. But you don't put it in it. You may put $50 in there. And, but God, and you wrote $50 on there, you may wrote $200 on there, but it's only $50 in there. It's just like you're lying to God. They didn't have to do that. All they had to do, if they it was there, as the man of God was saying, all you had to do is to, it was yours, so you were able to give what you wanted to give. Now, I'm not talking about tithe, because we know that we're supposed to give 10% of our tithe unto God. That is understandable. But this man and this woman had decided that they were going to deceive God, that they were going to deceive the man of God. And in that fourth verse, it let them know that, let's read at that third verse. But Peter said unto Ananias, why has Satan, and that's what happened. Satan had filled their heart. Why did Satan fill your heart? To lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land. In other words, you were able to control it. You were able to say what you want to do with the money. It was yours to do with it. And that's what worth. Why? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own power? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on them that heard these things. And then it was repeat. 3 hours later, his wife came. She didn't know what had happened to her husband, but she came. And because they had that conversation, because they had that agreement, because they had a privilege, she was privileged to the lie that he told, and she was in agreement with that, then she came to Peter just like he did. And Peter asked her the question. He wanted to know as well what had she did. And Peter, and here in that, let's read there in that seventh verse, and it was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered to her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, yes, for so much. Then Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried your husband are at the door and shall carry you out. Then fell she down immediately at his feet and yield up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead and carried her forth, buried her by her husband. It is an dangerous thing for us to deceive the Almighty, to try to deceive the Almighty God. It's a dangerous thing for us to lie to the men and women of God. It's a dangerous thing because it is not that you lying just to the men and women of God, but you're lying to God. And when we give in our offering, we should give it as you give it to God. And see, God, even if it's just like if we have a purse and we have $500 in the purse, and you say, well, nobody knows what I have in my purse but me. But that's not correct. God knows what you have in that purse. Now, what I'm saying to you today, that it's a reason why God wants us to speak to you this morning. I was going to begin at another area in the scripture, but the word of God, as I was beginning to bring the word, God want me to be able to let you know the significance of respecting him and not lying to him and being faithful to him and being accountable unto him. So they thought they were going to go to the man of God, and they thought that, hey, the man of God don't know what I'm doing. And sometimes they don't know what you're doing. Sometimes God didn't reveal it to them. But God knows what you are doing. God knows what we are doing. So therefore, we have to fear God. Many people are fearing man, but God wants you to fear him and to seek his face and to call upon him and to do what's right in his sight. So now we can move on a little further. We are talking about our topic this morning, that the battle doesn't belong to you, but belongs to God. And there are some times in our lives that we are going through battles. The Bible says, even as we have suffered, even as he has suffered in the flesh, to arm ourselves likewise to suffer. Sometimes we're going to go through a situation in our life. Sometimes we're going to be tested in our life. But we have to know that the battle does not belong to us, but the battle belongs to God. And when we look at the Word of God in that 11th verse, and the Word of God, the great fear came upon the church and upon as many as heard these things. And sometimes God does things like this in order to bring fear upon the body of Christ. And in that 12th verse, and by the hand of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought. It was work. I mean, many signs and wonders. It tells you the power of the men and women of and in the Word of God, it says many of these signs and many of these wonders was work wrought among the people, and they all were with one accord in Solomon's voice. And of the rest, there no man joined himself to them, but the people magnified God. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. When we can see the power of God demonstrated, when we can see the hand of God, and that's what God wants his people to see. He wants you to know who he is. He wants you to know that I am that I am. He wants you to know that I am the Almighty God. He wants you to know that he has all power in his hand. So, therefore, no matter what we may be going through in this life, whether it's sickness or infirmity, or whether it is something in your finance, whether it may be that God is able to move on your help, your behalf. God is able to do great and mighty things for his people. And when he does these things, then it calls the people to believe God. It calls the people to stand on God's word, to know that, look what God just did. Look what God did to Ananias and Sapphira. Look how God healed the sick. Look at the signs and the wonders that he performed. They began to believe. Their faith began to be built up. Their faith began to grow. Now, you may say, Dr. McCoy, what is faith? God said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So, therefore, you may not see it, but you have to believe God's word and stand on the word of God. And in that 14th verse, and believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick unto the street and laid them on beds and couches. And at the least, the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. I mean, that was faith to believe God. He didn't even have to touch them. They had that faith that I'm just going to lay these people in the street, because there was people that maybe Peter could not touch, or the disciples couldn't touch, but just laying them out. And because the anointing that's on the man of God, that anointing that's on that woman of God, then they knew that they were going to be healed just by his shadow. It says that the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities around about Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, everyone. Isn't that the power? Don't you see the power of God? Even those that had unclean spirits, they were healed. Somebody say that if you got an unclean spirit, then some people think that that person cannot be helped. But all our help comes from the Lord, who has made the heaven and the earth. And as believers, we have power to cast out demons and devils, and we have power to cast out unclean spirits. And when Peter then passed, when Peter had passed, when they passed the unclean spirits, they were cast out and they were healed. Thank you, God. And then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is in the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation. They didn't like what the man of God was doing. The man of God, there were sick folks all around about. There were multitudes of people from the city. As it read in that 16th verse, and there came also a multitude out of the city round about to Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. Every one of them was healed. And then the high priest rose up, and all of they that were with them, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation. Isn't that like the devil? Isn't that like Satan himself? I mean, people are being healed. They are being delivered. But then there are people out there that don't want to see people healed. They don't want to see people delivered. They are not saved themselves. They have not been delivered themselves. They don't know God. And therefore, they don't know the power of God. And they don't understand the power of God. So therefore, they had indignation in their heart. And the word of God said, and laid their hand on the apostle and put them in a common prison. I mean, I'm talking about today. Part of this message is that the battle is not yours, but the battle belongs to God. And even Peter and the apostles, we see that even though the enemy tried to rise up, and they wanted to and did put them in a common prison, but the word of God says in that 19th verse, but the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. God has a way that is mighty sweet. God has a way of bringing us out with a strong hand and with a strong and a stretched out arm. We see that the people, they had came, the Sadducees had came, and they had indignation, and they had put them in the common prison. They had put the apostles in the common prison. But look what God did. God sent an angel of the Lord by night and opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go and speak. Go and stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. So, therefore, when you are in bondage, when you're in shackles, you may not be in the common prison, or you may not be in prison like the apostles was, but the enemy will come against you. And the enemy don't want you to do the will of the Father. And the enemy don't want you to speak the word of God. And the enemy don't want you to lay hands upon the sick and to see them recover. The enemy don't want you to cast out demons and devils, and they'll speak things, and they'll say things, and they'll do things. But you know what? The word of God let us know, even as these apostles were in the common prison, God sent an angel to them, and the prison doors, and brought them forth and said, go and stand and speak in the temple to the people all the word of God. Don't stop speaking. In other words, don't stop speaking the word of God. Don't stop talking about God. Don't stop lifting his name up. See, you're not going to have everybody that's going to embrace you when you're speaking the word of God. Everybody is not going to say hallelujah and praise the Lord because of the what you're doing. Yes, there are going to be many people are doing that, but there are going to be people that's not going to like what you're doing. But that gives us no reason to stop lifting up Jesus. You may have people in your family. You may have people at work. You may have people at church. You may have people all in different areas of your life that want you to shut up. But we see that these men of God, the angel of the Lord, came by night and opened the prison doors and gave them instruction to go and stand and speak in the temple. Go ahead and speak the word of God. You say what God says for you to say. And that is, in essence, what they did. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with them, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told. And the prison truly found. We shut all safe. They're trying to say, we put them in prison. We shut them up, and they were safely shut up. We had the locks or whatever we had in order to secure them, but we don't find them. We don't see them. And we shut with all safety, whatever means that they had in order to secure them. That's what they were saying, that this is what we did. See, they didn't know what happened. They didn't know how they got out. They didn't know that that God had sent an angel to them and by night and opened the prison door. They didn't know that. But yet, that is what happened. They said, but when we opened, we found no man within. Now, when the high priest and the captains of the temple, I'm in the 24th verse, and the captain of the temple and the chief priest heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto that they would grow. In other words, they was uncertain. Then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom ye put in prison, they talk about the apostles, are standing in the temple and teaching the people. And when the captain but the officer had brought them without violence, they feared the people because they knew all the work that the apostles were doing. They knew that they were casting out these evil spirits and unclean spirits, and they were healing the sick. Come on. Oh, my God. They knew the power of the apostles. They knew, they had heard, and they knew what happened to Sapphira, Ananias and Sapphira. They knew the power of God. So when the captain with the officer had brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. They knew they had to be careful how they handled the apostles because God had gave them special favor with the people, and they didn't want the people to stone them because they was handling the apostles, and they had to be careful how they handled the apostles. It's like people have to be careful how they handle the men and women of God. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the chief and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we strictly command you that you should not teach in this name? They were talking about the name of Jesus, just in case you don't know. See, there's power in the name of Jesus. There's authority in the name of Jesus. And even today, there is many that do not want you to teach or preach in the name of Jesus. They didn't want it. And they particularly said Did not we strictly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. They knew about the blood of Jesus. They knew what was going to happen. They knew that it was powerful. They may not know the full extent of it, but they knew that who they were dealing with. So therefore, this is why they began to conversate and want to know why they are teaching in this name, the name of Jesus. And Peter and the other apostles answered and said, come on, listen at this. We ought to obey God rather than man. The word of God said, then Peter and the other apostle answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. And other than men, listen, that should be what we as people of God, we should not fear man, but we should fear God. Sometimes we so much fear about what man going to say or man going to do, but are we pleasing God? Are we fearing God? They didn't care what they were saying. They weren't going to stop teaching or preaching in the name of Jesus. Yes, they had a position. Yes, they could have put them back in prison, but they didn't care. They were saying to them, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our Father raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. He was bringing them back. Remember what they did to Jesus. Him has God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, but to give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sin. But we are his witness of these things. We are his witness. We've seen these things. We know these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God has given to them that obey him. When they heard that, they were cut to their heart and took counsel to slay them because they didn't want to hear the truth. The Bible said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The word of God said, whom the Son has made free is free indeed. But they didn't want to have to hear the truth. Have you ever seen a child when you're trying to tell them something, another child trying to tell them something, they're stopping their ears. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. And sometimes you might find, you know, adults doing the same thing or acting out in the same manner. But they was, when the men of God spoke the truth, they didn't want to hear the truth because they really wanted to slay of the apostles. They got so angry. And they stood up one that stood up in the council, who was a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had a reputation among all the people and commanded them to put the apostle forth a little space. And it said to them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves. He's one of them. What ye intend to do as touching these men. But before these days rose up Thaddeus, boasting himself to be someone or somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves who were slain, and all as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to nothing. After this man rose up, Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. They were scattered. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. But if this counsel of this word be of men, it will come to nothing. If they're not of God, we're going to see it. But in other words, you need to be careful how you approach and what you do to these men. You have to be careful, and I'm saying it again, that you have to be careful what you say and what you do to men and women of God. And this is what they were trying to do, not knowing that because these are men of God, just like God sent his angels and let them out. Do you think that God is going and the angel giving them instructions to go and to speak the word of God in the temple? Do you think that God is not going to protect them, especially if they have work to do? Don't you know that God will protect you and that God will keep you and that God will put a hedge of protection around you? Somebody say, I'm afraid. Oh, I don't want to go do the will of the Father. I don't want to speak the truth because of the fight that they're not going to receive me. They're not going to like what I'm saying. They're not going to like what I'm doing. I'm a woman, and I can't speak the word of God because they're not going to hear me. I'm a man, and I'm afraid of what they're going to say, and they're not going to stop me. Like Moses, they remember Moses, how he was afraid because of the fact that he was going, that the Lord was sending him to Pharaoh, and he didn't really want to go, and all the excuses that he was giving God, like he was slow in speech and all of that. Well, God knew Moses because he made him, he created him, just like God made and created us. So I say to you today that no weapon formed against you will prosper. And that's Isaiah 54:17. You know, no weapon that formed against you gonna probably get a form. People come up there and say whatever they want to say. But it is not gonna prosper them. We have to keep doing what God has called us to do. See, the battle was not the apostles' battle, because it was God's battle. And because it was God's battle, he sent those angels, come on, he sent the angels to let them out of prison. I mean, come on, what the supernatural power of God, what the miracle-working power of God. I mean, they're in there, and even the God said we checked with safety. In other words, they were secure when we left them, but yet they're not there. Where were they? They came by, the angel came by night and let them out. And then in that morning, they was out there preaching in the temple. I mean, this is the power of God. So you have to know that God is with you. You got to know what God has called you to do. It is, and that God has it all in control. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. So this morning, we have to allow God to direct our path. If he delivered the apostles out of prison, and I remember how he also, in the word of God, how he delivered Paul and Silas out of prison, out of the shackles, they were, how he delivered them. I know that God is able to deliver you. And I know that God is able to bring you out with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm. And there is nothing too hard for God. So today we're getting ready to go before the throne of grace. And we're going to pray for you, and we're going to believe God for you. And those that God has given, and those that God has called, and those that God has called to speak his word, you need to speak God's word for him. And you need to stand up for him. And the people in the church, believers, you know, God letting you know that even as he dealt with Sapphira and Ananias, that God will deal with you. So please make sure that you know that God, he is God, and God is God all by himself. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name. We thank you, dear God, for all that you have done, all, God, that you're going to do according to your word. We thank you, God, that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. God, we just thank you, Lord, for the word on today. Thank you. word. Thank you, God, for that rhema word, God. Thank you, God, for that logos word, God. Thank you, God, for being the great I am. Thank you, God, for being the God that saves, deliver, and to make free. I pray, God, even today, God, that you would touch the millions of people. Lord, God, I'm listening. People all around the world. God, no matter where they live, what state or city they in, Lord, touch their hearts, Lord, even right now. Father, I pray, God, that you will cause faith to come alive, God, inside of them, Father God. God, if they're in the church, God, save them and deliver them, God, if they're not saved. Because, God, we know, God, that the church is just like a hospital, and it has many people inside of it. And some of them, we know, that are saved, some of them not saved. But yet, God, they have to go and come to the church, God, that they can be saved, God, that they can be delivered, God, that they can be made free, God. So, God, we just ask you, the Lord God, today, God, to cause the word of God to be magnified inside of them. And, Lord, I ask you, God, that those that are not saved, God, just say it, Lord God, that we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God is raising from the dead. God, you said that we shall be saved. So I ask the Lord God, those that are not saved, God, those, God, that have not made you as their Lord and Savior, Lord, I ask the God to cause them to say yes to your will and yes to your way. And this we thank you and we praise thy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You have been listening to the Our Power broadcast of Dr. Mary McCoy. Please join in with us on this coming Friday as we begin to preach the Word of God again. In the Word of God, there's hope. In the Word of God, there's faith. In the Word of God, there's victory. God knows that you can be more than a conqueror. So join us on Friday as the Word of God comes to you. May God bless and keep you. Is our prayer.